This is HPR episode 2958 for Wednesday, the 4th of December 2019. Today's show is entitled Haskell Modules, and it's part of the series Haskell, and it's hosted by Tukutoroto and is about 23 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is Tukutoroto talks about Haskell modules.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Tudurto and you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. This time I'm going to talk to you about Haskell modules. So, when you have a small program, it's easy to have all the code in a single file and there's no problems. But as the program grows, you often feel like you need a way to organize your code a little bit better. So, grouping things together that are related to each other and making sure that if there's two concepts that have the same name, they don't collide. Like if you have all the code in a single file, all the identifiers have to be unique. You cannot have two things named similarly. And the third thing is when you have all the code in a single file, when you change any part of that file, the Haskell will compile whole file, and with a big program that will take a while. So for that Haskell has modules. So these are a way to group related things together, help with the name collisions and speed up the compilation. If you have a big program that has been broken into modules, first time you compile it, the whole program is compiled. But after that, only the module that you change will be compiled and all the modules that depend on that. And of course, all that chain continues, so everything that depends directly or indirectly to that thing that you change will get compiled. And there's two parts in this. First one is how to make modules, and second part is how to use the modules. And I'm going to talk about both of them this time. Modules are declared. Each module lives in a separate file, and they can be in a hierarchy of folders on a hard drive. So each module is in a separate file, and they can have a hierarchy. So for example, you have a module named data.maybe, or you can have a data.array.accelerate. .kublas.level2.patched. So those can be really long. We have a made-up example in this episode called multiplexer that resides in a multiplexer.hs. That's our module. And in top of that file, we have a module declaration. We just write a module, multiplexer, open paren, mix, match, plexer, scooper, .. close paren there, and then the implementation. I'm omitting the function and type definitions because I haven't written them, and they are not important. We just pretend that we have two functions called mix and match, and two types called plexer and scooper. And in our module definition, plexer doesn't have a dots after it. Inside parents, that means that only the type is exported. And scooper has dots, that means that if a scooper is an algebraic data type, then all the value constructors are exported, and if it's a record, then all the field accessors are exported. So that list after the module name is the export list that defines what of those things that are defined inside of the module are available to the outside of the module. There could be a lot of other code, but that's not visible to the outside world. Okay, so if you leave that list off, that export list, that causes everything to be available to the outside world. I like defining explicitly what is available to the outside world. Okay, then you are, now that we have our multiplexer module written and tested and everything, we want to use it. So I was actually surprised when I was doing reading on the modules how many different ways there are to import them. Importing means that you are taking a module into use. For example, our program's main code resides in the main.hs file, and there we want to use this multiplexer thingies. And how you use them is to use import function. That's just I think I have talked about those ever before. Anyway, import is a way of referring to a different module and bringing all the identifiers or some of the identifiers from there into the current module so that you can use them. So the first, the easiest way is to use just an import. We can just write on top of our file import multiplexer, and that brings all those exported identifiers into our current module. All it brings qualified and unqualified names. So in our example, we can then call our mix function as a mix and then parameters, or we can call it multiplexer.mix and parameters. So there's two names for it now. One is the unqualified name, that is just the name of the function, and the qualified name is the name of the function prepended with the module name. Because sometimes there might be that I got into that in a bit. Why would you want to use qualified names? And this, like I said, this imports everything. And sometimes you don't want to import everything for various reasons. So easiest way is to explicitly define what you want to import. You can just write import multiplexer open paren and then list of the identifiers that you want to import. So if we wanted to import those four things, we would just write import multiplexer open paren mix match plexer scooper dot dot. So that explicitly declares that I want to import multiplexer from multiplexer module mix and match functions, plexer and scooper types, and value constructors or field accessors for the scooper. And if I didn't want to import anything, I could leave that list empty. Then only type instances would be type class. Then only instances of type classes will be important. Sometimes that's useful. And again, these imports are both qualified and unqualified names. And if we didn't need the plexer and scooper, we could just write import multiplexer open parent mix and match and close parent. After that, only mix and match are available. Plexer and scooper aren't. And if there could be two files or two modules that we are using, and they both define the same identifier for example, we might be some completely related, unrelated module that also would define mix. Then if we import that and the multiplexer mix from both of those, then we don't, then the compiler can't understand which mix we are referring to. So for those cases, we can use qualified names. We can call it with a mix. We can call it multiplexer.mix, and then the compiler knows which we are using, which we want to use. And we can also make sure that we can also force using of the qualified names. We can use import qualified multiplexer. That means that it imports everything from the multiplexer module into our current module, but it only imports qualified names. So there isn't mix anymore. There's only multiplexer.mix that we can use. And after that, there won't be name collisions. And sometimes you are using that function quite a lot, and writing multiplexer in front of it, the module name gets tedious. So you can rename the module, not by changing it on the actual module file, but you can import and rename it with a as keyword. So you can say import multiplexer as m. After that, the module is referred as a m in your current module. So you can, instead of writing multiplexer.mix or multiplexer.match, you just write m.mix, m.match. This is I'm using quite a lot. And you can have multiple imports from the same module. Like you could write import qualified multiplexer as m mix and import multiplexer hiding mix. That means that the first one is importing only the mix function, but qualified with a qualified name, and multiplexer renamed as m. So you can only call m.mix and nothing else available. And then you are importing everything, both qualified and unqualified name from the multiplexer without renaming, but you are hiding mix. So everything else but the mix is now important. And after that, you can call m.mix match multiplexer.match plexer multiplexer.plexer scooper multiplexer.scooper. Sometimes this is useful. I don't really often use that. So hiding is another way. You can import everything except some defined list. So that should now be all. Yeah, and all different ways of importing, and you can combine these. So you can write import multiplexer to import everything, both qualified and unqualified. You can import multiplexer, open parents, close parents. And this time you are importing only type class instances. So if, for example, if your type is defined to have be an instance of a num class, then you are only importing those instances. You can write import multiplexer, open parent, list of things to import that imports both qualified and unqualified. And the same thing, import qualified multiplexer, everything but only qualified names. Import qualified multiplexer, list of things to import. And import multiplexer hiding, list of what you are hiding, everything else but this list that I'm giving you. And this imports both qualified and unqualified. Import qualified multiplexer hiding, list of things to hide. Import multiplexer as n, You are renaming the multiplexer to PM, both qualified and non-qualified names. Everything that is exported is given to you. Import multiplexer as M, list of things to import. These are only these things defined in the list are imported, both qualified and unqualified, but the module is renamed to M. Import qualified multiplexer as M and import qualified multiplexer as M and list of things to import. I think I might have missed something there. Yeah, no, that should be all. So there's a, you can mix and match this how you import things, and you have a quite a good control on how you want to import things. So in short, some identifiers can be chosen to be imported while leaving others unimported. Modules can be imported, qualified. That means that you are forcing an obligatory namespace qualifier to imported identifiers. Some identifiers can be skipped with the hiding clause, and module namespaces can be renamed with the as clause. There's a special module called Prelude. This is a sort of base module that is automatically imported. It contains lots of helpful types and functions. But sometimes you don't want that. For example, there might be that there's a, you have written a own version of some functions, or you are using some other versions written by some other person of those functions that are defined in Prelude. So you don't want to use that. For example, the head function that is defined in the Prelude gives you the first item of the list. But if you call that function, if you apply that function with an empty list, then you get a runtime error. And I don't like runtime errors in Haskell. I try to avoid those as much as possible. So there's a different implementation for the head function that instead of first item it returns maybe the first item. So if you give it a list of something and there's elements, it returns just that first element, and if that list is empty, then it returns nothing. So it returns you a value always. It doesn't crash. So instead of the Prelude version, I like using that one. So so there's a couple ways of not importing the Prelude. You can write a pragma at the start of the your file. These are compiler directives. So these I don't remember what those whisker looking parents. Well, now they are called whisker parents. They are not the square brackets, they are not the parents, but they are the third byte. So open up that dash hash language, no implicit prelude, hash arrow, hash dash, and close that funny parent thingy. And this instructs the compiler not to import Prelude. You can also import Prelude manually, because that turns off the automatic import. And what would you do is you can just write import qualified Prelude as P. That means that only qualified names are imported from the Prelude. And now if you are calling head, you are using your own version. And if you want to use the version defined in the Prelude, you use p.head. So Prelude is useful, it's really useful, but there are some functions that I like to be implemented slightly differently. Circular references. Haskell doesn't support circular references. This is if you have two modules that import each other either directly or indirectly, that does not compile. The compiler just refuses to compile that. So imports have to form a directed acyclic graph. So they can refer to things, and those things can refer to some other things, but nobody can ever refer back to the first thing, forming a loop. Of course, you can have some completely different module that is not imported from anywhere to refer that first thing, but then it's not a first thing. But anyway, you cannot have a circular import. Sometimes these arise, and you're writing code, and that means that you have to move code around. It might be that it is possible to move things within existing modules to break this circular reference, or sometimes you have to create a new module and move something there. Like recently I was working with spaceships and people and crews, and I think it was that the people and crew were defined in the same module, and then some people can own a spaceship, but then the spaceship can have a crew, and crew consists of people, so there was a circular reference that I broke up by introducing a third module where I moved the crew related things, because then I could have a people who own a spaceship, but spaceship isn't referring anywhere else because crew is defined in a separate module. The crew and spaceship are sort of separate things then. But sometimes you just have to move around code a little bit. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it just takes quite a bit of time to figure out how to do things. But at least Haskell isn't as strict as a F-sharp, which is in where you cannot use anything that is defined after the point we are using it. So in F-sharp you cannot have circular references, and you cannot inside of a file you cannot refer forward. You can only refer to backward to things that have been defined, which is kind of funny. So that's about it. And compilation I mentioned already. So when you compile a big program, everything is compiled. That might take a time. And after that, when you change one module, only that module, and everything dependent on that directly or indirectly gets compiled. So the compilation is sped up. And sometimes you end up with a sort of a, for example, common or MISC, some module that contains some common things that are used everywhere in your program. And when you change anything in that module, it triggers the recompilation of most of your program, and that takes a time. So if it's a common thing, then it's a common thing, and then it's used in everywhere. But I try to keep those things that go in some very common module to the minimum and break up things as much as it makes sense, so that I don't have to change a module and then wait for the whole system to recompile. That's it. Now we know how to define modules and how to use them, and I don't have anything else to talk about this time. So questions, comments, and feedback is always welcomed. Even better it is if you record your own Hacker Public Radio episodes. And the best way to reach me nowadays is either email or in the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. Happy hacking!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. HECA Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.